Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Rose.
I'm Kathy.
And today our guests are Martha and Greg Singleton. But before we do that, we have a story for the kids. So here we go. It's called Slow Down, Joseph by Dolores M. Walker. Joseph's feet pounded up the front porch steps as he charged into his grandmother's house like a freight train. He would be staying with his grandmother for a whole week while his father attended a conference.
Hi, Grandma. I'm here. Daddy said he'll bring my suitcase after dinner. Oh, and I brought my Sabbath lesson to study, too. Jesus knows I love him, doesn't he, Grandma?
Indeed he does, Joseph. We'll settle in after dinner, and I'll read your lesson to you, okay? She hugged him and went into the kitchen. Joseph raced through the farmhouse excitedly, touching and looking at his grandmother's many knick-knacks and treasures she'd collected through the years. Hopping through the dining room, Joseph tripped and bumped into the shelf where Grandma displayed her favorite china bowls. One bowl wobbled, then tipped slowly and began to roll off the shelf.
Whoops! Oh, no!
He reached out to catch it, but it was too late. The bowl hit the braided rug with a thunk and bounced twice. Joseph snatched it up to inspect the damage. The gold rim had chipped, and a thin crack ran through the colorful birds that decorated the bowl. Curious at the noise, Grandma peeked around the corner. "What's going on in here?" she asked. "Did Cookie break something?" Ashamed, Joseph held out the broken bowl. He chewed on his lip to keep from crying.
It wasn't Cookie. It was my fault. I'm really sorry, Grandma. I shouldn't have been running. I was just so excited to be here.
Grandma took the small bowl from Joseph. It had been given to her and Grandpa years ago by an old friend who lived in Italy. She ran a fingertip gently around the chipped gold edge, then sighed and set the bowl back. She smiled at Joseph's worried face and gave his rumpled hair a reassuring pat. It was an accident, Joseph, so let's not worry about the bowl any more. With a happy grin, Joseph walked away to wash his hands for dinner. Wasn't that a good story?
That was a great story.
So let's go to our interview now. I'm here with Martha and Greg Singleton, and we're going to talk about parenting. Let's take a little time first to see how you became so interested in this topic.
Well, first, raising our own children, all of the challenges.
Yes. Kind of throws you into it.
And you look at that baby and you realize that you're going to have to pray a whole lot because you really don't know what
yes.
you're doing. And then the other thing, I think, we've done youth ministry, and I've taught high school for 40 years. And I always tell Greg, I think working with kids at the end of being parented yes. made us very aware of the things that we wanted to do before they got to be teenagers.
Yes.
So,
and that's kind of the way we started writing these books. Began to see a lot of things that maybe we would have done differently, you know. But a lot of things that God led us into that really worked, and really that's a theme that goes through all of our writings. The fact that you're not going to hit a home run every time, you're not going to be perfect every time, but you have to be intentional about what you do and how you parent, and you have to be consistent. And those are the things that are just really
amen,
important.
Amen, amen. I'm looking at your book, Setting Up Stones, A Parent's Guide to Making Your Home a Place of Worship. And I think that often we don't realize how setting up stones and making our home a place of worship takes care of other things too.
So many things. Yes. So many things. That the theme of the book actually was taken from Joshua, the fourth chapter. And what happened there is that Joshua led the children of Israel to the Jordan River, and they were faced with this body of water in front of them. And God stopped Joshua and said, I'm going to perform a miracle here, just like I did back at the Red Sea. And nobody remembered everything from the Red Sea. They had forgotten how God had done that. You know, they were hadn't seen that.
I mean, amazingly so. They had forgotten.
So God said at this point, he told Joshua, he says, this time we're going to make them remember. And he said, I want you to have them pick up a stone in the riverbed and take it back to their dwelling place. And then God made this statement. He said, so that when their children ask, he didn't say if they do or if it ever comes up. He said their children are going to be curious enough to ask that, what's this rock for? And you'll be able to tell them about it. And that's the theme of the book, to make the divine, turn the daily into the divine.
And to do it purposefully. You know, if I had a big boulder sitting in the middle of my living room, my kids would walk in and go, what is that for?
Yeah.
And in teaching, I know that if I will have something unusual, interesting, you know, there that engages their interest and attention, they'll walk in the room and go, what's that? What are we doing today? And I sort of Greg, we just adopted that into how we do family devotions.
It's like God wired kids and all of us to be curious.
Yes.
Absolutely, and so that's kind of the way we've always done working with our kids, and Martha working with students, and we've tried to make things exciting. God's not intimidated by this culture, and God's not intimidated or fearful of anything in the culture, and so he's given us a creativity and an imagination to use the things that we see and do to make the journey with him extremely exciting and challenging for young people too, for the family.
So I have a family that has three children. They've just given birth to their third child, and it is so overwhelming. They don't get enough sleep. They're working to provide for the two older children, but yet this infant is taking everything, was maybe born premature. How can they set up the stone?
Well, in Deuteronomy, God says, I want you to talk about me when you sit in your house and when you walk in the way. So we're about taking those little moments as they come. If you're driving to soccer practice, just moments in the day to turn the conversation toward God and his ways. And in our book, we have lots of activities and suggestions for things you can do, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, that engage the kids and involve the whole family. That just a little bit of being purposeful can get you started, and then that becomes a habit so that conversation naturally turns to the things of the Lord.
Well, here's the thing. I'm sure everybody has noticed the fact that when you sit down to have a nice devotional time with your family, everything that can go wrong will go wrong. So it always happens, and that's the way our culture is right now. So if we begin to look and find times, be very purposeful about finding times that will allow us to point where God is. God is here. We teach our kids God is everywhere. Yes, he is. And he's in every moment and everything that we do, every day, all the time. So we need, as parents, to be intentional about stopping and pointing it out and saying, here he is now. God's here. And this is what we try to encourage parents
now,
to do.
I'm looking at two happy, vivacious people. Did you just... I mean, were you the perfect parents?
And so many of our great ideas about what we were going to do just fell flat. But some of them were successful. And I think the message is that you just keep trying. You know, you just don't give up. And, okay, that was a dud. Tomorrow we'll try something else. But I'll tell you how we knew we had been successful with that. It was once we were on family vacation. And we were driving through Estes Park, Colorado, just at sunset, and there were these wonderful elk drinking out of a pool, and the sunset was reflected. And our kids were late middle school and late elementary school. That's not an age when you're just real loose and free. But we pulled over to look at that, and our daughter just very naturally started singing the Bible chorus of As the Deer Pants for the Water. Our son joined in, and we sat there in the car and had a little worship time that was just natural. It just came forth, and everybody in the family was comfortable enough with talking about those things and doing those things. And after that, I thought, I told Greg, well, okay, that worked. We've done something right, that the kids feel free
to just become a part of the culture of your family.
Yes.
And that's where we want it to go.
Absolutely.
We want it to become the very fabric of your family.
I think that's the way God wants it to go.
That's right.
I think that's what he wants.
But that's not to say that there weren't times that there was some pinching and shoving going on under the table and things weren't exactly perfect, though.
We had we always had a morning devotional time, and I was out of town one time. Matt was about 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And he decided, since I had told him he was going to be the man of the house while I was gone, that he decided that it was time for him to take over the devotional time. So he very diligently opened up the devotional book, turned it to a page, and he says, "Our scripture for today is, do not cross the street." And so, he got the idea. But
this is where we're learning how we're going to live.
Do not cross the street. That sounds like a good title of another book, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do not cross the street. Setting up stones, we're talking with Martha and Greg Singleton. And right now we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to unveil their newest book. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Ruth here on Self-Esteem. Now, tell me something. How does someone have low self-esteem? Because someone told you that you're too tall, too short, or your eyes are too far apart? Really, how do you let someone else tell you how to feel about yourself? It's called self-esteem. Now, let me tell you something. You are a child of a king, which makes you royalty. So you thinking less of yourself is like a princess stomping on her crown. Would you want to do something like that? Wake up. It's time to take pride in yourself, know yourself, and love yourself. Because if God can do it, so can you.
This teen topic was written and recorded by a student from Highland View Academy. If you would like more information about Highland View Academy, please go to www.hva or call 301-739-8480.
My issue today is people who criticize or have like an opinion about something or someone without even beginning to understand the subject that they are opinionating on. Like people like take one look at a band and say they don't like the band or form an opinion on the band without even hearing their band or getting to understand the band. Or like someone forms an opinion about someone before even knowing them. Like how someone won't talk to someone just because they look different or think stereotypes are true. It's really annoying, and it can be considered bullying if you think about it.
This teen topic was written and produced by a student from Highland View Academy. For more information about Highland View Academy, go to www.hva-edu.com. That's www.hva-edu.com.
Welcome back. We're talking with Martha and Greg Singleton. And you told me this was just like hot off the press, fresh out of the box.
First box.
And the title of it is Not Crossing the Street.
No.
But it is a neat title. It is Let It Shine, Partnering with God to Raise World Changers. And there's been so much about being a dynamic change agent, you know, as an adult, but really it does start when you are a
starts
child.
When they're bored.
That's
it
right.
It starts when they're bored. We all remember when they place that baby in our arms the first time, and immediately we start having these ideas, these big plans and big ideas about what it's going to be like and what this child's going to do and how they're going to, and the plans build and build and build. And the first time that things don't go exactly right, then you have to sit back and say, well, wait a minute, what's the deal here?
Yeah. And really, the idea is from the very beginning, first, that we're leading our children to have their very own relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
Not to just Xerox.
So that's why
ours.
You said partnering. Partnering.
Yes.
God. That's it's great.
God's well, baby and his plan.
That's right. We get the idea a lot of times that we've got an art project that God gave us.
Yes.
You know, we got this blank
oh,
canvas.
Oh, yes. That has
we can,
been a traditional
right. A
belief.
Blank canvas that we could, you know, put whatever we want on it. But actually, parenting is more like a work in a refinery. It's dirty, sweaty work, and it's not our plan and not our idea. We're just working to bring out all the beauty and purify what God has already placed within that life that he's already called and already established. And it's our responsibility as parents to provide those opportunities for them.
And we really think that God has a purpose and a mission for our children when they're 5 and when they're 10 and when they're 18, as well as when they're adults. And we need to
And you
to
know,
be
if, now, do you have in your book, do you help parents know how to let that child shine at those ages?
We discuss that all the way through. And then we have a section called, after every chapter called Do Try This at Home.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And we
wonderful.
Suggest some projects and some discussions.
I always hate to bend the pages of a brand new book like this. But I want to go to some of those sections. Let's say maybe 17 has it. And also, while I'm talking to my listeners, I would like to share with them your website. And so there's a couple of websites that you've given me, www.marthaandgreg.com or www.settingupstones.com.
Right.
MarthaandGreg.com or SettingUpStones.com. Either one will take
right.
you to more information. So I'm looking at page 16 where it says, Do Try This at Home. And I'm going to just read one. Movie night. Schedule a family movie night complete with popcorn and watch one of the many great movies that have themes of adventure and mission. Be sure to find one that is age appropriate for your kids. And then you give some websites so they have the resources
exactly.
there. And they can review to make sure that it's something that
sure.
they want their child to watch. Following the movie, be sure your family discusses any pertinent themes. This is primarily a time to let the kids talk. Let the kids shine rather than time for parents to teach a lesson, which is hard for parents. Not
That's real
try.
Hard.
Right.
But if we understand that what we're trying to do is for our kids to have their own faith and their own relationship with God, then we allow them to talk it out and allow them to work it out. And sometimes it's not exactly, it's like do not cross
yes.
the street. It's
yeah,
not exactly, exactly. right,
yeah.
but you don't. No.
Yeah.
You just talk through that and say, uh-huh. well, this is what maybe they were talking about there,
yeah.
and so that's something that's really important. Not just watching the movie, but talking about it too.
So you've coined the phrase helicopter parent. Describe what a helicopter parent is.
That is something that I see a lot in school. Parents who are so involved and over-involved and overly protective with their children. They're kind of hovering around and hovering around and never let the child make their own decision or suffer a consequence
mm-hmm.
that maybe they need to suffer.
Yes.
And it's really tempting to be that. We want so much for everything to go just right
mm-hmm.
for our children. But we need to
yes.
be training them to make choices and decisions through their own prayer and relationship with the Lord and knowledge of the Bible. And, you know, we want them to fly
mm-hmm.
as adults. But there have to be some times when they try their wings with us coaching them. But you can't fly for them. So that's kind of where we're going.
It really does take a very sensitive person to be a parent and to know how much do I let this child
absolutely
decide on their own, how much do I decide for them, how much leeway do I give them. Do you have any guidance?
I was going to say, one of the things that I like most about Let It Shine is that between the chapters, we have stories, some of them from the Bible that are written in narrative form about young people who impacted their world. But we also have stories about some people that you would know from the news today, mm-hmm. and then some people that you would never know to pass them on the street, but they all are having a huge impact on the world as young people. And we interviewed them about their growing up time. We also interviewed the mother of Jason Russell, who does the Invisible Children thing. I mean, she let him go to Africa. I talked to her a lot about yes. dealing with fear. But I think you glean a lot from those stories. And well, then,
we have, for instance, Sam Congato, who was a professional football player. He's from Nigeria, and he came to this country and succeeded playing football. And everybody had a lot of ideas and plans, even his own parents, about what he would do in the future because he wanted to be a doctor, got his degree in pre-med. Well, what he's going to go is go back to Nigeria now and be a doctor. It's kind of scary place right now, but somebody who's had it all right there that most people would think, you've achieved it. But he said, that's just the beginning for me, you know. So
you know, this is pretty radical because traditionally we want our children to be well behaved. We want them to essentially be really good followers. At the same time, we want them to learn to just say no if it's something harmful. But other than that, we haven't said, hey, you are a world changer. You are going to change the world, whatever part of the world you're in. And so with that now, with that in mind as a parent, I want to start helping you shine from the time you're born.
Right.
That's
if we really believe that God has called every individual, then it's important for us to begin to allow our children at whatever the age they are, age appropriately, allow them to experience what it means to live in that fulfillment of doing what God has called them to do. And so that's what we talk about a lot in Let It Shine.
Let It Shine, partnering with God to raise world changers. And I'm talking with Martha and Greg Singleton, and you can go to their websites,
www.marthaandgreg.com
and settingupstones.com.
Right.
Either one will take you. Well, we just have a few minutes left of our show, and I thought maybe it would be great to conclude our show with some real encouraging words for parents. I mean, we are all struggling with obstacles, financial, a relationship, and just give us some words of encouragement.
Well, one thing that I think is important to remember is that our children's spirits receive truth, whether we see them responding to it or not. Anything that we speak into their lives, whether it's praying over them or scripture, anything that we say to them goes into their spirit and is there. So whether you're seeing results or not, keep trying. Hang in
Keep
there.
Working at it.
Yes. What a wonderful way to conclude the show. Thank you so much for being
thank
with us.
Thank you for having us. We enjoyed it.
Thank you for writing these books. They are going to bless many families and the children. You know, they might not know to appreciate it. They will be the most blessed by it all. Thank you. And we have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more information, go to myhomeschoolcompanion.com. That's myhomeschoolcompanion.com.